Welcome to the Anime Guru Podcast. I'm your host, Jefferson.
I'm your other host, Andrew. And today we're doing something a little bit different. Usually we both watch a movie and talk about it, but this time I had the opportunity to go to the Scotland Loves Anime Festival in Glasgow and see a couple of movies. I saw Marcus Gamble and Colourful. I'm just going to talk briefly about both of those two movies. Scotland Loves Anime is basically this thing which started last year, which I went to, and they showed some pretty cool stuff last year. They showed Redline, which was really fantastic, and Evangelion, and Summer Wars, and a couple of other older stuff. And I guess it was successful enough that they did it again this year, and they showed a pretty good lineup in Glasgow, at least. They showed Colourful, they showed Marit Scramble, they showed some world premieres, I think, actually. They showed a new movie about the guy who made Jinro, the guy who directed it, called A Letter to Momo, which I think is a world premiere. I could be wrong about that. But yeah, the two movies I saw were Marduk Scramble and Colourful.
The whole concept of an anime festival is just like people going to a place and then theater showing just anime just kind of boggles my mind.
It seems to be something which they do quite a bit in Europe. The cinema I saw at the GFT shows quite a few festivals, and that's, I think, where they get most of their money, because they're kind of right next to this really huge multiplex. But because of that, the GFT focuses more on these small festivals, so you do get stuff like the Anime Festival. And I guess there is a market for it. I understand that Norway shows a hell of a lot of movies. Like, I think they got the world premiere of Redline a couple of years ago.
It's so crazy. I mean, just like, when I think in the United States, the closest thing I've seen is just like one-off premieres in theaters and just like lineups at anime cons.
You have to remember that you guys have a huge convention culture. You guys have a huge amount of conventions, and there's a lot of film showings at those conventions. The thing with Scotland is there isn't really a lot of convention centres, and most of the conventions we do have actually tend to basically be marketplaces. Stuff like the London MCM Expo, that's really more a place to buy stuff than an actual convention. So over here, these film festivals kind of, I guess, are meant to fill that gap almost.
Although weirdly enough, it's like, I don't know, I think you're kind of seeing the American Anime Con almost through the lens of like Anime World Order. My experience with the Anime Con and just normal people who go is that they kind of treat it as like a buying experience, so they spend most of the time in the dealer's room.
Yeah, I do understand that you guys have the two big conventions. Is it Otakon and what's the other big one? I guess there's a few, but I know there's one in New York, which is quite large. But those ones do seem to cater to that film festival idea. I'm really thankful that stuff is here. I mean, it seems like a lot of people showed up. I mean, there wasn't quite as many people from Marduk Scramble as there was for Evangelion or Redline last year. But I guess that's to be expected. I mean, Evangelion is a huge amount of fans, you know, inside and outside of anime. Marduk Scramble is this weird little OAV series based off a weird little novel. But there was still a lot of people there. It was kind of interesting. There was a lot of people who were clearly anime fans. You could tell that because they all had pink hair. But there were a few like middle-aged couples and stuff, one of which walked out. But I think that might be because it does get a lot of press and The Guardian and stuff like that. So,
what's The Guardian saying about Marduk Scramble?
They called, I don't know, they haven't reviewed it or anything. They did say that Armored Trooper Votam's Pelson Files was the most Japanese name ever.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah, they just had a brief thing about it. Like, there's, you know, there's stuff on like Watching in Glasgow and stuff, and they've advertised this quite a bit. And I know in Edinburgh, there was like a huge kind of billboard sign in the city for like the anime festival. So it's pretty well advertised, and there was a fairly good turnout, at least for Marduk Scramble, which I'm talking about now. But the movie itself, I'm really not sure if it was the best one to open this festival with. I should probably point out that before each of these movies, they have just a little talk. Sometimes they try and get actual anime directors to introduce it. I know with the Votoms movie, they're going to have Yosuke Takahashi, and I cannot wait to see that. But here they had a kind of UK, I don't know what you'd call him, he's written some books in anime, And I have completely forgotten his
Talking
name.
Head,
He's,
or
yeah, he, I think he wrote a book and spirited away. But my recollection of his name has completely gone. Okay, maybe I can remember at some point. I'm not really somebody who knows a whole lot about the UK kind of anime fandom, to be honest, even though I live here. But anyway, yeah, and he was this kind of snarky guy, and he introduced this movie, and he seemed a little bit nonplussed by the movie to me. He seemed a little bit like when he was talking about Redline, he seemed very excited, and the same with last year, and the same with Evangelion. But this movie, he just looked kind of befuddled, and like he just gave us like a bunch of stuff. Like, this is a really crazy thing about this movie, guys. All the characters are named after eggs.
what?
They were like, what? And he's like, yeah, they're all named after eggs. That's why one guy is called Dr. Easter and shit like that. And there's another character called Hard Boiled.
That sounds awful.
There's another character called Ofcop, which is apparently French. Yeah, this is like Tamino level names. I mean, it's really quite amazing. There's another character called Fresh the Pike. And my personal favorite is Well Done the Pussy Hand.
Oh.
Or maybe Medium the Fingernail. It's a lot of really great names. But
Oh.
yeah, this was based off a series of novels. And basically, they all introduced this as a movie, but I am entirely certain that this is an OAV series. None of the two ones, they were both 15 minutes, the two movies they showed. And also, they weren't at all paced like movies. They were paced like TV episodes. There was no three-act structure. It seems to me like this was actually an OAV series. And we got to see two of them, and I think the second one's a world premiere. So to explain the plot of this movie, a lot of people have described it as being a throwback to kind of the 80s action-y sci-fi OAVs. I can't say I particularly buy that. What it actually feels to me like is one of those visual novels, like one of those Type Moon things. The plot of this is very convoluted, and it is filled with rape. And it is also filled with loads of crazy terms and terminology. And that's usually what makes me think of light novels or visual novels. But yeah, to try and explain the plot of this movie, and you'll have to stay with me here, but essentially, it takes place in the future, I suppose in New York, it's never really stated. And there is this prostitute called Ballot Rune. And essentially, she one day is murdered by this guy who kills prostitutes and I guess turns them into blue diamonds. But she is saved at the last sec at the last second, or no, saved after she's killed, I think. And then they essentially go into her subconscious, the people who saved her, and they ask her if she wants to live, and she subconsciously agrees, and then they bring her back to life. And this is where it gets even weirder. They arm her with this talking mouse called Oafcock, who can turn into weapons. Are you with me? And then they ask her to track down the memories of the guy who killed her, or because he's deleted those from his brain, so they can have him arrested. I think that's the plot of this show.
What?
Does that sound like an interesting plot to you, or does that sound convoluted and weird?
That sounds like something I would walk out of.
Few people did walk out of this, but I think they walked out when the main character was on the toilet and they decided to animate her sitting on the toilet peeing, and I think they were like, fuck this. And at that point, I was also kind of like, yeah, fuck this. Because even though this movie, I think its heart is in the right place. The main character is a prostitute, and there was a lot of talk in the first movie about essentially, what they're going for is it's like an attack on misogyny. There's a lot of conversations between the mouse, Ofcock, and the main character about how essentially that she was like always sexualized and turned into prostitute. But the thing is, it's all undermined because the main character is constantly made to wear these tight, fetishy, basically porny-looking clothes, and they constantly like have shots of her ass and. It's totally backfiring on itself. Like, maybe in the original novel it's based off, yeah, all those themes about misogyny and chauvinism, those all came through. But when you're animating her as a sexual object all the time, I don't think that theme really works.
Wow.
It's, yeah, it's, it was, that was really annoying for me. And that seemed kind of like the wrong way to introduce the festival because it really reminded me. The only way that it reminded me of like 80s OEVs was a huge amount of rape in this movie. Like, if there was ever rape in the plot, they couldn't just mention it. They had to show it completely. And I do not buy that it was meant to be, this is so awful, because the way they animate it, it was like a hentai. I'm not a prudish person. I just don't think you totally need to show her getting fucked in the ass by her dad. I'm just saying. You don't need to lovingly animate her panties being ripped down. I don't think that's really necessary.
Okay.
Is there stuff I like about this movie? Anything which isn't rape and sex? I mean, I love the aesthetics of the world they created. It's convoluted as fuck and it's ridiculous, but it's kind of interesting that way. I mean, the city it takes place in, it's very kind of American-looking cyberpunk city. I love the action. The animation is fantastic. I think the villains they created are insanely interesting. Like, in the first movie, most of the villains are these fetishists who all have, like, a fetish for a different body part. So there's the one guy with, like, a necklace pinkies, and a big fat guy with, like, a high-pitched voice who's covered in breasts, and they all die in, like, ironic ways. Oh, and the guy with a vagina grafted on his hand. That was all interesting, and there were some great action scenes, but for the first movie, I really did feel skeevy watching that movie. I mean, maybe I'm just prudish and I just don't understand these Eastern values, but I felt like a sex offender watching that first movie.
I don't necessarily think it's necessarily a cultural thing. When I can see what you're saying is that people are saying, "Oh, you're just not down. The Japanese are so different." But it seems as though what you're describing is that this is specifically meant to essentially draw people in, because, like, it sounds fan servicey, and fan service is not a cultural thing. That's just a, hey, let's get some nude women or almost nude women on.
I can tell from the story that I don't think the source material came off this way, because there was nothing wrong with the subject matter. It was just the way. I don't have a problem with the fact that the main character was raped by her father. I have a problem with constantly animating that sex scene in a way which it just, there were certain rape scenes which to me seemed like they weren't done like any kind of tasteful way. They were just done as sex scenes.
Sometimes I feel as though just like, was looking back just in film history, you had film noir and you had all these techniques come into play because you couldn't show sex on screen. And that's where we got things like double entendre and we got off-screen violence. And sometimes I feel as though movies just today just should have some more off-screen violence. I'm not necessarily a prudish person, but I just feel as though somehow, I just feel as though some, like, it's a bit more stylized in that regard, and that just showing it on screen is kind of lazy.
I agree completely, and I just, the way, I mean, the main character wears, she's meant to be this kind of government agent tracking these people down, but they make a whole joke about, she's wearing these tight, you know, the shortest microskirt you could believe, and she's wearing this tight suit, and you can totally see her nipples, and it, I don't know, that to me, that seems otaku-y. That seems like it's really reaching out to the anime crowd. The thing is, without that stuff, I mean, I do like the setting. I love the action. I mean, the story is convoluted as fuck. I could barely recount it. But the first movie, I don't know. I felt skeevy. I like the second one a lot more. The second movie or episode didn't really have a whole lot of rape. It was really just a lot more plot-focused. There was a lot more sci-fi ideas. It moved a lot at a faster pace. But the second movie almost made it worth it for me. I really did enjoy that.
Maybe I just were they made it. By a different staff or
no, same staff. I think it was just it felt to me like there was less material to work with in the first movie because there was a lot of those flashbacks to like the rape and stuff felt dragged out to me, and also the dialogue in the first movie felt quite a bit. I don't know. It felt a lot more ponderous and stretched out. But the second movie, it felt like they got into the meat of the story. There was a lot happening. There was a lot of crazy concepts. I mean, there was a gay psychic dolphin. literally. There was, what else was there in that movie? There was a really awesome poker tournament as a climax of that movie, which, any anime of a poker tournament or a dramatic poker match is probably going to be pretty good. I mean, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure taught us that.
Yup.
The second episode I thought was pretty good, solid sci-fi stuff with some interesting concepts. Again, all very convoluted and strange, but fairly well done. I mean, the animation was still beautiful. It was kind of worth watching just for how ridiculous it was. I mean, there was some crazy shit in the first movie, but it did not have a giant egg helicopter. It did not have the dude who was just a head in a jar calling himself God. A lot of weird shit in that movie, which by that point I was basically just watching it to see what other weird shit was going to happen. Like, oh, look, there was a bunch of flying sharks who call themselves guardian angels eating people. Okay. I'm down with that. So, yeah, once it got into the actual sci-fi of it, I was okay with it. But I can't, just because of that first episode and just because of how fetishistic it appeared to me at times. It's not the kind of thing I could really recommend without adding a ton of superlatives to it. I mean, it's not the thing that I would have opened with an anime festival. Honestly, I think I should have just opened it with Redline again. Because I couldn't show this to anybody who I didn't already know was hugely into anime. So that was a miscalculation, I think. Again, it had its moments, but if you're, I mean, the thing I would hear about this movie is, go out and see it if you're a huge fan of, the old school sci-fi anime, which I think is bullshit. Go out and see, if you want to go and see something which is reminiscent of those old shows, see Redline. This seems the kind of thing you would like if you're into like Type Moon and stuff. That's what I was really reminded of, was Type Moon only with more sci-fi elements rather than fantasy. So yeah, I really can't recommend Moderate Scramble outright. Again, I really did feel creeped out by that first movie. And the second one was an interesting sci-fi show, but nothing I would rush out and see. And also, I think it's worth pointing out that that last movie ends so suddenly and without any resolution that I think the entire theater was like, oh, that's it? So yeah, it's probably, if you really want to see a gay psychic dolphin, and who doesn't? Yeah, probably worth seeing, but just be warned, I wouldn't take the non-anime fans to go see Moderate Scramble.
All right.
Okay, and then we'll talk about Colorful.
My nephew, like the Power Rangers. And I did this on his birthday where he had all his friends around. They were like, Green Ranger. I said, let me show you the real Sentai. I'm going to show you the episode where Green Ranger actually died. And they were sitting there looking. A couple kids start crying like, no, Green Ranger can't be daddy. And the parents were like, what are you showing our kids?
The Anime World Order Podcast.
Not suitable for children because the truth hurts.
Visit us online at www.animeworldorder.com.
Okay, cool. So the other movie I watched is something I think would have been much more fitting to open the festival with. It was something I liked quite a bit, and that is the movie Colorful. This is very different from Moderate Scramble. Whereas Moderate Scramble was kind of a hokey action movie and kind of sleazy, this is sort of a very classy kind of adolescent story. It's basically a room. It's basically a rumination on suicide. It's this very slow-moving, kind of touching story about this kid who basically tries to kill himself and another person to repent for something he did in the past life. Ends up having to take over that kid's body and essentially reform himself. It's based on a novel, and it's about as depressing as it sounds. It kind of deals with the idea of suicide, but also the idea of basically trying to find hope in your life. And it feels like festival bait. It definitely feels like it was meant to be shown at this kind of festival. And it was definitely something I'd much rather show people than Marduk Scramble. I really liked it a hell of a lot. It was this very touching, very well done kind of indie movie. And what's crazy about it is that this movie was made by Sunrise, the Gundam studio. They usually don't do stuff like this, but I think this was their first time trying to make a movie like this, and I think it worked out really well. And it's also directed by the same guy who directed Crayon Shin-chan. And I thought he did a really good job here. This is based off a novel, and I don't know really anything about that novel, but I did notice a lot of allusions to Kenji Miyazawa in this, a lot of train symbolism, and the idea of life being a train journey comes up. It's a really interesting movie. It's quite slow moving, but it's got this very kind of melodic feel to it. It's got this piano kind of music playing throughout the entire thing. It is a dark movie. It's not something I would recommend you take children to at all. It is Justin Zvakis approved because it's a depressive adolescent story. And I think I like when anime does that. I like that quite a bit. It's definitely different than a lot of anime I've seen. There's a lot of cool stuff about it. I mean, one thing I would say about it is that the animation isn't particularly good. It definitely looks like it was done by kind of a C studio, even though it's by Sunrise. I noticed towards the middle of the movie, they started using a lot of really bad CG, and they started using photos as a background rather than actually drawing the background. But one thing I did like about it was that it has this very gritty look to it that you don't see in anime very often. They show Japan in a much less idealized way than usual. It really felt more like an indie movie than an anime. It was very interesting. And it kind of, one of the things I really liked about it actually was the main character. He was a lot darker than most main characters in anime. I noticed he was this very kind of chauvinistic, self-centered asshole, basically, which is to be expected because it's about somebody reforming himself. But all in all, it felt very different. It felt like a breath of fresh air from most of the anime I've seen. And
I gotta ask, you just said that he was chauvinistic. Did he feel like, was his type of suicide that of like, some sort of sense of powerlessness and isolation?
Absolutely, completely. He has no friends, but also we find out very quickly that he commits suicide after finding out that the girl he has a crush on is a prostitute in order to earn money, and also that his mother is having an affair. And sort of suggests that leads to him essentially hating women, or at least hating most of the noble women in his life. So yeah, there's a lot in this movie about isolation, and there's a great line with the main character is an artist, which is one of the reasons why it's called Colorful. And there's a great line where his dad asks him why he doesn't draw people, and his answer is, I don't like people, which I can definitely sympathize with that a little bit. But yeah, it was a really interesting main character, and I thought it was just a really good first kind of movie of this kind from Sunrise. It was really interesting, and It's something you can track down. There are torrents of it available because it's been out in Japan for quite a while, but I haven't seen a lot of discussion about it, so I think it's definitely worth watching. It reminded me of how I felt when I first watched The Girl Let Through Time, which is this very emotionally affecting coming-of-age story, which this is a lot darker, but gave me a similar feeling. It did have, the one bad thing I would say about it is that the same problem as The Girl Let Through Time, in that this movie... the climax kind of happens way too early, and then it seems to have about 6 endings after that. But it does have a really good payoff at the end. Everything is wrapped up very smoothly. The ending feels very emotional and kind of melodramatic, but I will admit that I cried at the end of this movie, so that's usually a sign of a good coming-of-age story, I think.
Okay. Is the character like, what age is he in?
He seemed about 14 to me. He's just about to go into high school.
Okay, I'm just looking it up now on the Anime News Network. Okay, huh?
Yes, it seemed like a lot of movies here were in this festival had something to do with death in some way or another. There wasn't a lot of easy subject matter, and that is what this is. It's a very slow moving movie about essentially suicide and also finding a reason to live. So it's not a happy movie. And
so is his spiritual quest for meaning, in a sense?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and also just finding a way essentially to cope with people. It was definitely very interesting. It did remind me a lot of, it's the kind of thing where if you like Kenji Miyazawa, this is probably something you'd be into. But also if you just like these kind of depressive adolescent stories, then this is something to check out. I liked it a lot, and it's pretty easy to find online, so definitely check it out. I did see one other movie after this, which was a movie which actually hasn't aired in Japan, been shown in Japan yet. It's going to be shown in 2012, though it wasn't a world premiere. It'd been shown in Canada beforehand. It's called Letter to Momo, and I hadn't heard a lot about it, and I guess that's just because it hasn't aired in Japan or anything, but it was a really good crowd pleaser. It's by the same director as Jinro, who is a guy who is he's a very talented person. I mean, I like Jinro a lot. He did the opening for Cowboy Bebop. He did a lot of the scenes in Paprika, a lot of storyboarding. His name is Hiroyuki Okira. I think that's how you pronounce his name. But he doesn't do a lot, and supposedly one of the reasons for that is that he spent 6 years storyboarding, scripting, and doing the character designs for A Letter to Momo. And, you know, this is a really well-made movie. I mean, it didn't emotionally affect me like Colorful, but it definitely had a great reaction from the crowd, and it's something that I would definitely show people just as kind of a fun ride. It's very much a movie concerned with atmosphere and comedy, and it takes place in these... it takes place on these Japanese islands, which I forget the name of. It also has this connection to death, because the story is basically that this girl, she gets into an argument with her dad, and after that said argument, he dies. And he was a mariner who studied these islands. After that argument, she moves from Tokyo to these islands, and she's very shy and timid, and she doesn't really make any friends. But the movie basically revolves around the idea of yokai, and essentially these yokai that she meets, who are basically there to they're basically there essentially to be assholes. It seems like they sort of just steal from everybody on the islands and eat everything, and only she can see them. And it's really a comedic movie. It's really about the comedy between her and these yokai that only she can see. It's a lot of slapstick, which I usually hate, but it's not overdone. It's actually quite funny, and there's kind of a cuteness to it too. And it's a very sweet-natured crowd pleaser. It made the audience laugh quite a bit, and usually Japanese comedy doesn't do it for me, but this one actually really did. It's a really sweet movie, and I think you can tell that it took 6 years for this guy to plan out, because even though it's not trying to make a grand statement or anything, it's very well done for what it is. It's the kind of thing where if somebody had seen Spirited Away or Ghibli and they liked that kind of stuff, but they wanted more anime to watch, this is very similar. It's got a similar kind of main character. It's got very nice animation like Ghibli, but a lot more comedy and just a very similar mood and atmosphere. I wasn't sure what to expect from it when I went in, because the other thing this guy did was Jinro, which is a very dark movie. This is the opposite of that, but again, very well done, and I really enjoyed it. It's definitely something to look out for.
All right.
I don't want to spoil anything, because, again, it hasn't even aired in Japan yet, but it's a movie which, to me, went by really quickly, and it was a really good crowd pleaser, so definitely I would check out A Letter to Momo.
So I think that's an episode.
Yeah, I think that's all I have to say. I can just look at my notes that I wrote while watching the movie. But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. I was really happy with this festival. I mean, the one thing I would say is a lot of the movies this year, with the exception of Modok Scramble, were a lot more contemplative than the ones last year. There was nothing like Redline, which I felt like I could show anybody and just be like, this is anime, isn't it awesome? Most of the stuff seemed to have to do with death in some way. But I'm just really happy that we have these kind of high-quality movies coming over here this quickly. I think that's really cool. And I was reading an article in The Scotsman saying that it's doing well, so I hope they keep it up. I hope next year we have some more stuff. It's really great, because I would not expect Scotland to get this. It seems almost random. And next weekend, I'm going to go see Ryosuke Takahashi and ask him about Dogrim in Edinburgh. So... It's crazy, and I just hope they keep it up, and I'm kind of counting my lessons here, so.
I expect a report on Ryosuke Takahashi, my hero.
Yes, I cannot wait. Maybe I should just ask him Gundam 0083 questions.
Yes!
I'm tempted to do that. Just be like, why did your show suck, even though you didn't really have much to do with it?
Even though you only wrote 2 episodes, why did it suck?
One of those episodes had the best scene in the entire show.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, I mean, there's not much negative I have to say about Scotland Loves Anime. Maybe next time don't open the festival with the weird, somewhat misogynistic story about the prostitute filled with rape. Maybe open it with the meditative story about suicide. That might be a little bit better in my opinion. Oh, and don't show shit like Tekken Blood Vengeance, even though it probably got more views than anything else. Fuck that shit. You know, keep getting Jonathan Clements back. That guy's funny. Very sardonic wit. He's a good one to introduce movies with. And yeah, that's pretty much it. I'm very happy of this. And everyone should check out Colorful, especially if they are Justin Sudeikis. And once Letter to Momo is available, everybody should check that out too.
Okay, this is Jefferson wishing that he could go to cool anime festivals like this. Signing out.
Okay, this is Andrew wishing he had more to say about these movies, especially Colorful. Signing out.